It's time for the Access of Easy podcast, the weekly technology digest that keeps you ahead of the curve. Brought to you by EasyDNS.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, to the Access of Easy podcast. This is number 355, the latest and greatest in data breaching and, of course, overreaching. My name's Joey. That's Len. What's going on, buddy? How the heck are you?
I'm staying dry, Joey. I'm not sure if you got rained on as well. We got just
torrential.
Smacked with just a bunch of rain, which is great because I don't have to water my plants yet again. As long as it doesn't rain for the next little while, I'm good. Because
buddy, if it was raining in Calgary, people would be out there taking showers. Are you kidding me?
Has it rained over? It must have, right?
I don't know.
Take advantage while you can. If there's some free water coming from the sky, yeah, we just got to do something. What are they limiting it to 3-minute showers? Well, like, you know,
I don't want to know. I haven't had a 3-minute shower in my entire life, I'm pretty sure. I love just this is way off the beaten path. I love just standing in the shower winning fake arguments for like 10 minutes every time I shower. I can't be the only one.
I've mastered the short shower. You know, when you have a little one, right? It just changes everything. So you got to get in, get out, and make sure you're clean. And that's it, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, whatever, it is what it is. But yeah. So 3-minute showers in Calgary. Over here, we're still laughing and taking it whatever we want. So that's good. Yeah, man. I'm not sure. This quote that came out, Plato. I don't want to like say what happened, but I can't believe that was a Plato quote.
Let's get into it. Last week's quote.
I can't believe it was Plato, man.
The price good men pay for indifference to public affairs is to be ruled by evil men. That's why Plato. I mean, Plato's a pretty good guess from Harry, but I mean, I don't know who else it would be. And now that I see it as a Plato quote, it really, you know, it's like, oh, geez, that was kind of obvious, you know.
Well, famous political philosopher. Anybody.
Yeah, but he always, his thing, God, I haven't taken a political philosophy class in 15 years, so forgive me, I might be a bit over my skis here, but his thing really was always that you need great people in a society and great people in politics. And he felt politics was a higher calling. So that does make sense from like, a sort of broader standpoint. You know, he would definitely be the guy to say that. So I'm not that surprised. Who did you think it was by? Who would you guess?
Chuck Schwab.
Chuck Schumer. What about Chuck Schumer?
No, it was Klaus Schwab.
Yeah.
Isn't he the type of guy that also tries to put people or wants to have people in an office that have a certain pedigree? And
yeah,
I don't know, man. I don't know. Chuck
Communist,
Chuck Schumer. Didn't that guy get really lambasted this past week, by the way?
You see his cheeseburger tweet?
That's it. Yeah. Putting on the cheese before the patty.
Listen, there's so many problems with that tweet. Okay. On the grill, there are sausages that have been done for 10 minutes. Okay. They're perfectly cooked. They look great. They could be movie props for all I know. Then next to those sausages, he's got raw hamburgers that are like gray in color. They look like shit. Cricket burgers. They look absolutely terrible. And on one of the burgers, he is pretending to be getting ready to flip a burger, a raw hamburger. You would never flip a burger raw, first of all, but one of the burgers has a slice of cheese on it. And he's talking about how he's using the barbecue to cook his kids, Memorial Day or whatever, meal. That is an all-time, how do you do fellow kids tweet. And by the way, he deleted it the next day.
That doesn't matter. We now have it. Did you catch the vote last night?
Yeah.
So that it's a perfect meme. Thank you very much, Mr. Schumer. You are number one in my book. So yeah, good thing. Notch. We're going to run with that one.
Top notch.
I like that. I mean, come on. Good for him for putting himself out there, but whatever.
This week's quote. Stop being moons. Stop living by reflected light. Get into action and convert yourself to a living sun. Who's that by? That sounds like
I don't want to say it.
You see the back end of like a Mandarin restaurant radio ad or something like that.
I was going to say it's a musician, but I don't want to say who it is.
But we already given guess. Len's giving away the goods here. If you know it, after that,
I don't.
If you know it after that juicy hint from Len, tell us in the comments. You get your next round of renewals on Mark and team at Easy DNS. So then we got
give me today, half. Honey. By the way, yeah. If you're gonna get a free renewal, I deserve half. If I'm gonna
give Len half of your renewal.
Thank you.
Today we got five stories all together. A couple of Canadian. You want to start with the Canadian one? I think it's the first one anyway, isn't it?
I'm pretty sure. Desjardins.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, no relation to Eric Desjardins. This is obviously it's a very large company, but anyways, there was a data breach that took place at Desjardins in 2019. I did not hear about this, to be honest. Although I'm not a Desjardins customer, I do know somebody that works there. So I'm going to go pester him about this information. Either way. So this is a scammer was able to gain access to personal information of millions of Desjardins customers. And the information includes the names, addresses, dates of birth, social insurance numbers, email addresses, and information about transaction habits. So the scammer then used this information to steal $8.9 million from Desjardins clients. Now, apparently, business accounts took the brunt of this $8.9 million theft. And this was done when scammers got a hold of a temporary password to log into the system and make fraudulent transactions. And this information was known and the money was never recovered, though. But in the aftermath, Desjardins found to be negligent in safeguarding its members' personal and financial information. And as a result, the Quebec Privacy Commissioner imposed a record $4.2 million fine on Desjardins. And in addition, Desjardins was forced to pay a hefty $200 million settlement to compensate those affected by the breach. And I'm wondering if part of that settlement included 1 year of free credit monitoring. But either way, what they're paying out, they're going to get back in service fees. They're just going to jack up service fees. You know, nothing comes free, including the theft of this information and this stolen money as well. But either way, good luck to you if you're impacted by this breach. And I always imagine there's going to be some people listening to this that probably were. So that's too bad, so sad. But man, what could you do except for hold these companies to a higher account? But I don't know. It is what it is.
Listen to this is the part of the story that's juicy. First of all, to quote the story, the financial institution paid for a credit monitoring plan through Equifax and offered identity theft insurance for affected members. For not one, not two, not three, not four, but 5 years, which, by the way, expires pretty soon this year, right? 2018, 2019. So we're basically in the last year. The Desjardins employee behind the leak worked in the marketing team at its head office and had access to personal information. His database access rights did not allow him to obtain, said the commissioner or the commission d'accès à l'information. So to me, it's like an internal actually scam, basically. And they didn't protect, like, God, Len, I feel like I should just get an AI bot to repeat what I say about this stuff every week. You cannot give your information to any company anymore without expecting that it's going to be compromised. And so you're almost forced now to have like this dual identity type thing where, you know, whatever you put in the bank, as far as passwords, other data, this one has a transaction habits and stuff like that. Like if whatever you give to them, you have to assume that it's gone and will eventually be used to harm you in some way. And then you have to have a second life, you know, maybe a Bitcoin life or something of that nature, where everything is extremely private. You don't give information to anyone. You never give up any goods related to your habits, your spending, your balances, nothing. And from there, you build what's important. And from the other life, you build what's insurable. And to me, that's really where we're going with this. What do you think?
It's difficult to do because you're still going to have to give up your information to these companies. Everyone needs insurance. Everybody needs.
I'm not saying you don't have to give it up, but like you just assume that information no longer is that valuable. And so you only
keep... What information are you giving up? Valuable information.
I know. Yeah.
You can't get around this. That's the unfortunate thing. And you could have, as you mentioned, like your Bitcoin life, and you could try to minimize your impact in terms of having information flow out there. But still, there is no way to totally block yourself off without just being, you got to live like in the woods or something and just live your life like that. But you still need some sort of internet or something to deal with Bitcoin. So, yeah. You know, you're basically screwed. That's just the reality of it. And like you say, just expect it to be stolen, but there's no way around it. You know, just.
Okay, let me ask you something. I was thinking about this today after reading the stories. I was kind of cruising around in my car doing some errands. Do you think that? Like Desjardins is a big name, Okay. But they're not as big as like Amazon, Apple, Microsoft, whatever. Do you think that what is the more likely outcome here or the more likely like current day situation? Amazon is never getting breached because their security is too high tech, or Amazon is getting breached and just pays to make sure that no one ever finds out. What's the more likely outcome?
The second.
You think?
Yeah. Just given how much information they have,
honestly,
how long they've been operating for.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think a year ago, I wouldn't have said that, but the number of names that have come up on this show, there's only so much cybersecurity out there. And I think the common thread is that these guys just don't give a damn about their clientele.
Now, the only
it's not where they spend their money. It's just not where they spend their money.
The only thing that's against my argument, our argument, is that it's publicly traded. So this information, if one really wants to dig, they could probably find it. And to date, hasn't been found. So
Amazon has, if Amazon has like, if you say anything, we will kill you money and influence, you know? Like, that's the kind of thing that I think about when I think about whether or not they're getting hacked and we're just not finding out. You know what I mean? Like, it's a bit cynical and definitely a bit of a black pill. But, man, the number of stories we see, there's just no way that they've been immune to all of this, you know, attempted data breaching stuff.
I agree. Yeah. Given how many years they've been in operation
and exactly.
they have.
Yeah.
You know, it's inevitable something would happen. How severe and how widespread it is, it remains to be seen. And how many times as well. But yeah, it's just the odds are against
it. Decades of identity protection about to be handed out by Amazon when this is discovered.
Could you imagine? That's a treasure trove of information.
Oh, for sure.
Right? think of all the things people bought.
Amazon knows, like, the Amazon is notoriously good. We're going to go long on the story, obviously. But Amazon is notoriously good at knowing what you're going to buy next. There was talk, like, 6-7 years ago, maybe longer now, because the last 4 years have been kind of a blur, about Amazon starting a service where every so often they would just send something to your house that they thought you might need. And if you want to send it back, it's free, of course. But the likelihood that you send it back is just so low that they would just start getting another $20 out of basically everybody every month or every week, because they'd send you something. You'd be like, oh yeah, I do kind of want this. Or like, now that I have it in my hands, I'm not really willing to send it back. They know about you more than you know about you.
Yeah, plus it's a pain to send it back too. You have to go through the effort to go to the post office or Purelator or FedEx or whatever. Heck, I don't know what the return thing is, but it's not like as simple as, or is it as simple as them picking it up at your doorstep?
It is as simple as them picking it up now.
Oh, I take that back then.
Yeah, but it wasn't always like that. Some things are like that now.
Okay. Yeah. See, my wife is the Amazon shopper, and every so often when I want something, I ask her to buy it for me, which is, you know, maybe once a month I ask her to get something for me, and that's about it. I'm low maintenance, man. I buy what I want. I have what I want, and anything else, like, come on, like, what else do I need? By the way, new build is coming out in September. But
yeah, saw that.
Yeah, so let's move on. Let's talk about this article from Info Security Magazine. This is a very recent article. So, and in it, it talks about, well, people need to be aware of malicious software disguised as legitimate video conferencing tools. Can't believe we're talking about this, but either way, researchers at Recorded Future have discovered a fake meeting software program called Vortex. Not good, man. Not good. If it was Vortex, maybe I'd give it a little high.
It'd still be bad. It's all bad.
It's
all bad. Yeah, you try to get one.
Yeah. Anyways, Vortex, it's actually malware, and it's designed to steal people's information, Mac OS users' information particularly, and because it seems to be targeting people or users in that ecosystem. So it's masquerading itself as a virtual meeting application. But instead of facilitating online conferences, which you expect it to do, it infects the macOS system with three different information stealers. And these stealers could potentially snatch a variety of sensitive information from your computer, including the login credentials, financial information, and other personal details. But as of right now, it's unknown how this is being distributed. But people, they're advising, and this is pretty, like, should be well known. People should be cautious when they're downloading something. They shouldn't just simply download it because it looks too good. Shouldn't install it. And especially if it's a lesser known application, you know, be very careful. And even if it is a well-known application, make sure you're downloading it from the proper place. And if there's an opportunity to verify the software, then do it. This is the only way you could guarantee or at least minimize the impact you have with having your information stolen. But either way, I don't know why people are doing this. And I'm not a Mac user. So when you download software, are you asked to put in some administrator password or something? So you have to knowingly put that in and say, I'm downloading this. So clearly people need to be educated on how to use their computers. But you know, nothing is foolproof. If you're going to open a door, regardless of whatever operating system you're using, it's going to be potentially impacted. So be careful. Keep that door closed as much as possible. Verify if you can, and you're good to go.
Do you think the rise in macOS info stealers coincides with the side loading optionality present in Europe now, thanks to a recent lawsuit about based on antitrust for the App Store?
I can't even figure this out. What do you think, Joey?
I think that's exactly what's causing it. I think it's a huge part of the problem. You say what you want about Apple as far as like security and stuff, and obviously they're not that big on privacy, not as big as they should be given the sort of depth and breadth of the devices and the reach they have. But the App Store is damn near bulletproof. It's hard to get a pirated, malicious app onto your phone through the App Store. It's very difficult. The App Store search results will almost never give you, you know, a tainted Bitcoin wallet or a tainted social media, you know, aggregator or a tainted news aggregate. Like it just doesn't, they don't show up in the results. You're always going to get the thing you're looking for at the top of your list. And when you start allowing for sideloading, you get problems like this. To your point about people taking seriously, like what they put on their phones, Len, there's an entire generation of people.
Oh, this is like, the computers. It's not phone. This is for computers.
Sorry. Yeah. So there's an entire generation of people, you know, my age and younger, who basically have never surfed the web to download an application. How's that make you feel?
That's interesting. I haven't even come to
Microsoft has its own app store. Apple has its own app store. So the likelihood that you would like find yourself in a situation where you're downloading the wrong thing outside of those ecosystems, I think is suddenly pretty high. And I don't know, what number of people are under a certain age in this report or whatever, but to me, these things together, kind of a weird cocktail. People are going to be seeing the sort of broader web of apps for the first time. And I just don't think they're not going to know what to do. You know, that's all. It's going to be sold to them as a, you know, like you said, a telecommunications app or whatever these guys have done and whatever other people have done. Yeah. Video conferencing. And so they're going to be in a weird spot. They're going to be like, oh, this is not on the App Store, but the Apple doesn't want it on the App Store, or it's not on the App Store yet or whatever. And these guys did a pretty good job hiding it too. You know, they're using avenues through which people look for verification. Like they had a gold check on Twitter, the article says, and they had a dozen or so AI authored articles on their Medium page. So, you know, everybody kind of got here, right? Twitter got, Medium got. And the people who downloaded the app got too. Like I said, it's a interesting time for users of these ecosystems now that they're kind of opening the doors to sideloading, mobile, Mac, or otherwise. And like I said, you know, how many people have used the web to download an app? How many people you think under the age of like 25 could competently unzip or decompress like a numbered RAR, a numbered .rar library to get an ISO file out? Like, this is how we used to download games. All the games we downloaded in university were like this, right?
And yeah, like, you know what I mean? More so. Like that, no. We all did that, I know, but now I would never even consider that.
If you had to, you would know how to do it, and you would know how to scan, and you would know how to do all those things. But no one else does. The younger kids have no idea. They have no idea.
You're right.
Yeah.
I have nothing to add to that. Yeah. You know what? Learn how to use Linux. And when you do that, you're forced, for the most part, there's still like a store which you could download apps, but it's not very good. Yeah. For the most part, you're actually going out, finding the application on, you're downloading it, then you're verifying it's the proper by the signature to make sure it's right. So there's a lot that goes along when you're using Linux. It's darn hard. I totally understand. And you could really screw things up. But you become safer as a result. As long as you stay on that path, you could easily divert and become, you know, just open up doors and make it really unsafe. Mm-hmm. But man, oh man, it just, I recommend everybody to try it out. It's gotten so much better in the past few decades. But let's talk about mouse jigglers,
Joey. This is a crazy, I love this story. This is something that I have, like, I don't have a mouse jiggler, full disclosure. I'm not that bad.
I got several, man. I got like, nice. Yeah, they're all over the place.
I don't have one. I'll tell you off the air. I have a theory actually on something that happened and its relationship to mouse jigglers, but I can't say it on the air. But I'll tell you what it is later on.
All right. Well,
I think you're gonna absolutely love this story. You're gonna love what I have to say that I'm not gonna share on the air. Sorry, listener viewer, but you're gonna love it. You're gonna think it's spot on when we're done.
Well, there's an article from Zero Hedge that's talking about this, and it's about a recent incident that happened at Wells Fargo, and they fired a dozen employees because they were using mouse jigglers. And what these are either small devices that simulate mouse movement or something just to make the mouse move. And they are often used by employees to trick productivity monitoring software into thinking that they are working when actually they're away from their desks. And the rise of these productivity monitoring software is a growing trend because we're in an era, and have been for a few years, of work from home or a hybrid work where people are splitting the time between going into the office and working from home or always working from home.
So I thought splitting time meant either working from your kitchen table or going to the beach.
That could be it too. Oh, okay. With that mouse jiggler, you definitely have that hybrid situation going on, especially now with the great weather. So employers, they're increasingly using the productivity monitoring software to track employees and to do to see their activity and ensure that they're being productive during working hours. However, some employees have found ways to bypass the software, and this was using the mouse jiggler, and this is creating the illusion that they're still working when they're not. So in the case of Wells Fargo, the employees were fired because they were caught using this thing. This article from Zero Hedge doesn't specify how they were detected, but it raises the debate about the pros and cons of productivity monitoring software. So some people are arguing that employers should focus on setting clear goals and trusting their employees to achieve them rather than resorting to constant monitoring. And they believe this type of monitoring can create the culture of distrust and micromanagement, which could ultimately lead to lower employee morale and productivity.
Did a mouse jiggler write that?
The AI did, yeah. So on the other hand, others argue that productivity monitoring software could be useful tool. Okay, look, in the end, if you're getting paid, you should be doing the work, right? Like, I can't believe people are saying that, you know, that there should not be any sort of monitoring. If you are using a work computer, either if you're going in or they handed it to you that you could work from home, they have every right to do so. This is part of the agreement you have, I guess, with your employer. You're getting paid. You're exchanging your time to get paid.
Sir.
I guess they have the right to check out to see that you're actually doing the work. But either way, man, these mouse jigglers, man, they're making a killing. So I think we should make our own CBP version of that and start marketing it and see what we get. Sell it for Bitcoin.
I think this is a great story. I suspect many people in my life are using mouse jigglers, honestly.
I got several. Like, they're wonderful.
Okay, so let me tell you. I think that this is a theory that I have. At my place of work, I've noticed over the last few weeks that the suite of team software, which has several sort of Panopticon friendly features already, stuff like this, the status light, and hovering over the status light will tell you when the last time somebody was available was, when the last time they were there was, based on something. I don't know what exactly, but something. They've also added now this thing called the feed, and the feed tells you which of your colleagues has edited and saved a new version of a document, any kind of document, PowerPoint, PDF, Excel, whatever, all the majors. Len, some people I can see you haven't saved documents in 30 days. And I realized that maybe
are like they carpenters access, or something,
it may like be like not an access issue or whatever. Like maybe they're not saving documents that I can see, but there's a lot of stuff that I can see. And there's, you know, has been a long time without saving. So I think the way, in my opinion, to like force people into productivity is the deliverables being clear. That's a good one, of course. But the other one, is it public shaming through stuff like the feed? Maybe. I don't know. Like if someone looks at my feed and is like, Joey hasn't done anything in 2 weeks, like someone's going to say something, right? You would imagine. So I think that's really the other fix, right? Like what's this guy doing? If nothing's showing up on the feed, yeah, is he a carpenter? Like what's going on?
Could be a flex. Could you imagine you're getting paid, you know, full salary? You should be doing something with the computer and you haven't saved or opened a file in
30 jiggling. Days. Just jiggling
for the whole month. So yeah, that could be perceived as a flex too. So it could backfire against the employee. So
you don't want to do this stuff. This is, I think, the goal that we're trying to, you know, the end game we're trying to portray here. Listen, this is not the time where you want to be losing your job because you're a jiggler. Just do the work, man. Like no one is really asking for that much these days. Just don't be an idiot.
All right, let's talk about
also don't search for mouse jigglers on your work computer. You know, that's really the least you could do. They're asking how they caught these people. I mean, if you're using a mouse jiggler, what are the odds that you search for it on your work computer? It's got to be 80%, right? Like probably that's how they got them. This guy's not doing anything.
Bought the information from Amazon that
they ordered. They hacked Amazon.
So they figured out that guy ordered a mouse jiggler to his house. What is he using it for?
Just testing it out.
So malicious actors, they're using fake Google Chrome errors into tricking users into running malicious PowerShell scripts. And these scripts can steal your information or install other malware on your device. So these attackers are using social engineering tactics to make the fake errors appear legitimate. And they pose as technical support representatives. And they claim that you need to run a script in order to fix your computer. People buy this. It's incredible. God. In other cases, too, they might compromise a legitimate website and inject a fake message. You know, everybody has been to one of these websites and there's a pop-up that appears. And it appears it's coming from Google Chrome. And the message instructs the users to copy and paste a script into the PowerShell window. And once that's done, admin privileges are typically given up. And then the user was prompted to allow the script to make changes to their device. And it's a whole mess at that point. So check these things out. So number one, compromised websites, don't go to them. Try to stay on stuff that is legitimate, right? I mean, even like mainstream media stuff, you know, you're probably not going to get these type of message. And also malicious email attachments is another one. We've talked about this many times. If there's an attachment in your email from somebody that you know or even don't know, be careful. If you know them, try to figure out before you open it, was this something they were intending to send you and were you expecting it? Then you know, maybe open it. But if it's somebody out of the blue you don't know, they sent you an attachment, an EXE or something, like don't touch that. So anyway, so if you encounter one of these messages in Google Chrome, be very cautious. Don't try to copy and paste any scripts into PowerShell. Also, try not to use Google Chrome.
Yeah,
that's another thing you can do.
That's the answer.
Stay away from that. You know, it's gonna save your life. At least your online life, I think, and a lot of your data will be stored. And you could do it with. There's a lot of good browsers out there. People like Brave. People like Firefox. There's a lot of good, more privacy related browsers. Check them out. Do your own research, and you'll find that you're better off using them instead of Chrome.
So the name of these things is ClearFake, right? It says, those behind ClearFake, new attack cluster, blah, blah, blah. I thought that the White House just said ClearFakes is what the videos are where Biden can't find his way off a stage.
Yeah, those are all, somebody's doing some AI to make it look like it's real.
I thought.
Come on. Every day there's another video of him just wandering off stage or needs to be guided into. Like this can't be true, right? This is just all AI generated. I can't believe it. And he's only going to get worse, right? I want four more years of him. I want to see what's going to happen in 3 years from now if he gets reelected. So,
you know, awesome. One of our group chats, our buddies, posted the Trump on the All In podcast link. Did you see that? Did you listen to it yet?
No, I don't listen to All In.
Okay, you should listen to it. But I mean, this is not a Biden-Trump story. I will just say that Joe Biden could never hope to go an hour toe-to-toe with those guys. The story itself, man, I can just imagine if you were ever to buy one of these like fake browser updates that installs malware, you would for sure do the script copy-paste. like almost no doubt about it, right? Because if you're so lowbrow that you fall for the other thing, the script is really a simple kind of, you know, second step. God, it drives me nuts. People fall for this stuff. Where I don't use Chrome on any computer, so I don't know, but where is Chrome now in terms of, like, you know, warning you that something is wrong? Like when I download something in Edge, I use Edge on my Microsoft machine. When I download something, I have to like verify again before I open it, no matter what it is. Even when I download the audio from like the CBP episodes, when I edit them, it makes me tell the thing that the file's not malicious. It came from this website. Are you sure you want to open it? Like nothing is easy. Is it that easy in Chrome that this keeps happening? Like every 2 weeks or 3 weeks, we got another story about Chrome.
I have no idea. It's such a widely used browser. So, and no browser is going to be totally safe. And because of
how about just a little bit safe? Can we get a little bit safe? Like, where's the line?
There's others that are a little bit safer, right? But nothing's going to be totally safe. And because when you cast a net on Chrome, you're going to capture a lot of people, given the amount of users that use that software. It makes sense that there's going to be a lot more attacks against it. It's kind of like the attacks we see that are against Microsoft and macOS versus Linux. Not Fair. To say Linux is safer, can be, but how many users are you going to capture from Linux?
Yeah, not many. Just the lens right? Out there. That's it.
Yeah, which is one of me. That's
the
it.
The Len 10, we'll call them.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, that, you know, Chrome is what it is. It's a resource hog. Didn't somebody do something when they opened up a ton of different tabs and they checked out how much memory it was using? Somebody did some research and it's an absolute hog for resources. Yeah. But on top of that, just the amount of information that's being sent to the mothership is you can't stop it.
No.
So there's a lot of things that wrong with it. I would suggest not use it altogether.
I'm with you there. Yeah, I'm with you there.
Yeah. Anyway, so let's talk about what's going on with this Chinese espionage group called Velvet Ant.
Five out of five. Velvet Ant. Len, if it can double as a kick-ass punk rock name, it's 5 out of 5. Let's go see my buddy's band, Velvet Ant. They cover a lot of Doobie Brothers. I don't know.
I was going to give it maybe 2.
What? Maybe, Velvet maybe Ant?
That does nothing for me. There's no hidden message. There's no pun. It's just a name. So I don't know.
Anyway, that's random. That's random word generator, like gold. That's lightning in a bottle. That one.
So you're giving high marks for somebody to throw darts on a board.
That's a good one. I like that one. Yeah.
So anyways, it's a multi-year espionage campaign by this Velvet Ant, and they're targeting large companies in East Asia, and they're able to steal data from victims' networks. And these are done because they're infecting a number of legacy and unmonitored systems. And legacy systems are older computer systems that are still in use. And these systems are often vulnerable to attack because they're not supported by the vendor and may not have the latest security patches and install on them. So particularly it's Windows. So if you have an old Windows OS that's not being supported, these are the ones that these are attacking. So yeah, it's just, they're looking at this and they're trying to find these backdoors through these legacy file servers. And when they find a backdoor, they just attack it and they gain access to the network. In this case, they were able to find backdoor to a bunch of legacy servers and compromise what is called F5 Big IP. And that's a load balancing system to communicate with internal systems. It's a popular load balancing product that uses to distribute this traffic across multiple servers. They were able to get access to it and get access to the victim's network. So really, in the end, the message here is if you have an old system that's just hooked up to the internet, not being monitored and just sitting there, you may want to consider updating that to a more modern operating system. And you may want to do some periodic checks on it just to make sure that it's not out of date, that you're putting in the latest patches and security information. So that way, you know that it's going to be more up to date. So this is just a call to action for people out there. If you have an old system, make sure it's up to date. If not, continually monitor it. You may be hacked and make sure there's no sensitive information on there, or it's a backdoor to another way that they could steal information. So yeah, legacy systems, no good.
You think you got Velvet Ant, but you don't. It's resilient, this thing, whatever it is. I think this is a God, the name, Len. It's all in the name, I think. Velvet Ant. You just can't get it. Can't kill it. I don't really have a lot to add to the story other than how good I think the name is, but you know, standard advice. Don't put yourself in a situation where you're relying on stuff that's no longer updated, up to date, maintained, checked for vulnerabilities, et cetera. You really only have, like, if you're a sysadmin, you know, you have a lot of jobs, but the easiest one you have is just updating stuff. Why not just do it? You know, whether you're your home sysadmin, work sysadmin, whatever, you know,
there's a reason why there's going to be some backlash to that, or at least resistance. Sometimes there's software that's written for an old operating system, and it cannot be used on a newer operating system. So in order to migrate to something that's current, there's a lot of work to do with that. So you might have to update a lot of the software, even the hardware itself, because stuff was written for things that are very old. Like, for example, like in the United States, their nuclear launch system, they were still using floppy disks until 2019.
Mm-hmm.
So just because
aren't they still using them? Is that video that was floating around a little while ago, is that from 2019?
From what I understand, they stopped using those floppies as of 2019. And those are not the 3.5 or 3.25 and 5.5. I forget whatever. These are the big, big ones. They're bigger than the 5.25. So these are, I've never even seen them. And so just to give you an idea, that's how old these things are, but they're still being used. So just upgrading stuff, sometimes it's a lot of work, but unfortunately people need to do it, especially now everything's hooked up to the internet, and that could be used as a door to get into a system, to a network. Don't be lazy.
Gotta be aware. That's it for Access of Easy this week. Don't forget, subscribe to the podcast, of course, subscribe to the YouTube channel, go to the website accessofeasy.com, subscribe to the newsletter. There's always a few more stories than what we talk about. We cover the first 5 or 6 usually, and there's, you know, always a handful more. Best to be aware of these things before you need to be aware. And you do that by subscribing and reading all that stuff. So until this time next week, take care of yourselves.